I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Julie, you there? Julie.
Oh, sorry. I was just finishing up and... text message.
A text message. Interesting. That's
sorry, getting one more thing in my day.
Isn't that ironic, since that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, right? You're looking at your phone. Mm-hmm. So we're talking technology and its effect on relationships. The good, the bad, the ugly, all of that good stuff. And before we get started, you know me, I've got some statistics for you. Statistics.
Nice. I can't wait to hear them. I'm all ears. I'm listening. I'm off my phone.
Right. Put your phone away.
I turned it around.
Okay.
It's not
turned
even
it upside down.
Yep. Okay. I can't even see it.
All right. No, I can't see it either.
I can't.
Okay. That's good. I think it's within reach though.
It is, yeah. But I turned it the other way.
All right. Okay. So yes. Look, the average American spends, I have to look because I wrote this down because I won't remember all these. The average American spends 7 hours and 4 minutes a day looking at some sort of screen, of which 3 hours and 43 minutes is on what you were just on. 3 hours and 43 minutes a day on their phone, and that ain't talking. That's texting, that's scrolling, doing whatever you do, all right? As a sidebar to that, we're going to talk about this part another time. The average American spends 3 hours on social media every day. So we're going to come back to that another time. I just wanted to throw it in. So that's a little teaser for a later episode, right? All right, now, and let's just talk about kids. Kids 8 to 10. 6 hours on a computer screen on a device every day.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Those are sobering stats.
How about 11 to 14? When I was out playing basketball and football and riding my bike, 11 to 14 years old, 9 hours a day.
Yep.
All right. 15 to 18 years old. You're in high school. Mm-hmm. You're looking for boys. You're looking for girls. You're looking for fun. You're playing sports. You're out and about. No, not so much. 7.5 hours a day on phones and similar devices, iPads, whatever the case may be.
Plus they're in school too.
Plus they're in school. And
they're supposed to be sleeping 8 hours a night.
Well, you can do the math. Something's gonna work.
Something's gonna give.
Plus that maybe kids have jobs. Some kids have jobs. Mm-hmm. You and I had jobs. I don't know where the time's coming from.
Yep.
Except that when you roam around, you see kids walking up and down the street. They constantly have their head in their phone. When I walk the dog around here, it never fails. I'm walking toward a kid who's going to a bus stop. Heads are down looking at their phones.
Isn't there such thing as a tech neck, that people are having issues with their neck because it's like they're always in the phone and their neck is bent?
Tech neck.
No, I'm serious. I think it's a condition.
In the Bible, you say don't get stiff-necked, but now you're talking about tech neck.
I think it's a tech neck. Yeah. So I think people's postures are getting bad.
Sure.
Because,
look, you're walking.
And as you're talking about these statistics, I'm thinking about people's brains. This cannot be good for people's brains.
Let's talk about that. This is right up your alley. People's brains. Now that you've put your phone away.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about people's brains. Tell me what your concerns are.
Well, specifically developing brains, right? Because my brain is, nearly 59 and a half the other day.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So, it's your 6-month birthday coming up.
I already had my 6-month birthday. You missed it.
Do we have a party?
No, we did not.
Were we supposed to have a party?
We're not. So I did. I turned 59 and a half.
Gosh.
So anyway, you missed it. I had a party for myself.
You did. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I did.
Okay.
So my brain is fully established, but I just worry about what technology does to younger brains. But again, that's a different topic. Today we're focusing on.
Let me ask you about that quickly. Yeah. And we're going to talk more about that later. Because this is also an issue in the scope of families.
Yes.
But when you say your brain is already developed, how long does it take for the average human for their brain to become fully developed?
Well, the frontal lobe, which is the part of your brain in the front, obviously frontal lobe, that actually is in charge of like executive functioning, which is important stuff like where you have to be, what you have to do, how do you do it, problem solving, those kinds of things. The research shows that that brain doesn't develop fully till age 26.
26.
Mm-hmm.
26. So all of those age ranges that we talked about, and I just mentioned 8 all the way to 18,
right.
All those people, young adults, children, their brains are still developing while they're sitting there staring at those screens.
Correct. And I don't, yeah, you know, and I don't think it's helpful.
Yeah. Why not?
I can only imagine.
Okay. But you know what? Save that question. We'll talk more about that another time. Okay. So let's talk about technology in the, you know, under the umbrella of our relationship, under the umbrella of a couple's relationship. And first, let's deal with the obvious, which is what kind of issues and problems it can cause.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the biggest issues in relationships is distractibility and not being present, right?
Okay.
I mean, I think that's the biggest issue that I see in relationships is that, you know, I've seen people out at restaurants, I've seen families out together, and they all have their heads in a screen, you know, whether it's an iPad, a kid's watching Cocomelon or whatever it is, or the parents are texting.
I'd ask you what Cocomelon is, but since we have a young granddaughter, I know exactly, unfortunately, what it is.
Cocomelon.
Go ahead. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, people are not they're distracted. They're not fully involved in conversation, in being there, in relationships. You know, that dinner talk that we used to have has gone a lot by the wayside. Families are constantly connected to a TV, a screen, a phone.
Well, it's interesting because if, you know, you go back to when we were kids, our generation, when we were younger, or the generation before and the generation mm-hmm. before, people were distracted then, right? You know, we wanted to watch a game, or we had to talk about work, or worried about work, mm-hmm. or had to do the lawn stuff outside. Mm-hmm. And now you layer on top of all, and you still have all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Still have all that.
Well,
and now you're layering on top of it, this universe of all sorts of information.
Of needing to be available all the time to everybody and feeling that. It's interesting. So growing up in my home, we had two rules around dinner time.
Okay.
No newspapers and no TV watching. We never had a TV in our kitchen area or a place that you could see it.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the two rules because my parents really felt it was important that we come to the table and show up. They couldn't make us do much more than that, but that was the rules.
But you were there and you weren't looking at something else. You're
correct.
Either looking at your food,
yeah.
trying not to look at your parents or engaging in some kind of conversation.
Exactly. So, and I think that a lot of times, I know that a lot of my clients that I work with very rarely have family dinners together. And that's one of the things that I do talk to people about, the importance of that. And also I think, you know, I think no phones at the dinner table, is a really important rule.
I mean, it's not just being present physically, right? It's being present intellectually and emotionally mm-hmm. and otherwise. I mm-hmm. mean, the problem that we have now, which I think on the one hand is a good thing, you know, I mean, the fact that you can be reached at all times, at all places, and you can get mm-hmm. work done at different, some of us can, some of us can't, but those of us who are not tethered to a desk or not mm-hmm. tethered to a hospital because we're a nurse or a mm-hmm. doctor, whatever the case, or whatever other job you might have that requires manual stuff that you have to be there for, you know, you can work at a lot of different places, which is a good thing.
Absolutely. I mean, I know for myself, I can take a break during the day and go do something and then come back to my work because a lot of my work is, you know, paperwork or work on the computer. Mm-hmm. And that's a real benefit. I'm not tethered to 9 to 5 to do my job. But the flip side of it is that you feel like you have to be available more times than 9 to 5. My mm-hmm. office doesn't close, right? Because I can get an email at 10 o'clock. I can get a phone call, whatever it is. And people expect you to answer emails or text messages, you know, on a more regular basis.
You know, I remember back in the day, as I used to say, old people used to say, now I'm saying it. But back in the day, you know, when I was working as a younger lawyer, if you remember, I was going to the office every Saturday to work.
Yep.
Or sometimes Saturdays and Sundays mm-hmm. or staying late because you had to work. And if I did come home, I carried one of those gigantic briefcases or stacks of boxes that were on a cart to bring home. Now I hardly have a sheet of paper to use, which is wonderful work-wise.
Yeah.
But right? So we're sitting at dinner and a client or someone who maybe a client who wants to ask me a question. I want to get that client in the door. All of a sudden I'm talking to that person or I'm looking at their email instead of looking into those beautiful eyes of yours with the eyelashes that really look pretty tonight, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you, honey. So technology and boundaries. Yeah. I think that's what you're alluding to, which is that, oh, my phone is ringing.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. I'll just turn it off. I'll just turn it off.
Interesting how that works.
Sorry. My phone was ringing. So I do think that really what we're talking about is having boundaries and really kind of sticking to some boundaries. I also think, and we could talk more about that, but we also really need to talk about the flip side of this, the benefits of technology, the benefits of communicating
I want to ask you about that. I mean, in some ways, that's a good thing, right? So,
absolutely.
If I want to talk to you before, I had to pick up the phone, and maybe you couldn't answer the phone, or maybe you're in the middle of something, or the line was busy. Remember the old days when the line was busy,
and then
you had call waiting. That everybody thought was so great, and then it wasn't so great because it interrupted your phone call.
Right.
But yeah, so there is a good side to it. It allows couples to what?
Well, I think it allows couples to communicate more consistently, which we talk about all the time. Like I can check in with you, even if you're at work or you're out doing something, I could say, or, you know, did you get there okay? Or how are you? Or, you know, those kinds of things. And you can check in more freely. You can communicate a little bit, you know, better.
I mean, you can send nice notes to
each other. You can send flirty notes. Mm-hmm. You can send naked pictures if you want. You can flirt through the phone.
Yeah.
Right. So there are great things. There's benefits to things, but I do kind of think that we've gone for quantity over quality. If you ask me, I really do feel like.
Too many naked pictures, you mean?
No, not too many naked pictures. But I feel like talking to people used to be more special. Yeah. Like, when you and I were dating, we had a long distance relationship for a year. You were in Chicago. We used to save up conversations and we used to call each other like twice a week after 11 o'clock when the rates went down. Yeah. Yeah. And it was really special, right? And we used to write letters and the communication took more effort, but it was also more special. So I think we have traded in some ways the quantity. I think we have a lot more communication, but I'm not sure the quality is always there.
Yeah, I think that you're probably right. And I think that people need to be aware of that. So if they know that it doesn't come across as special as it used to be. And you're right. I think we would talk on what Sunday night and Wednesday night or Sunday night and Thursday night. Sunday nights, the rates were lower, I think, or something like that after 11 o'clock or something like that. And you had a certain amount of minutes. We had to watch the clock
because
the rates would go up. God forbid you called from a payphone. That was a major.
Well, we had calling cards or something.
And now you can call anywhere in the world. Doesn't cost anything.
I know.
You just pay your monthly bill to the... to whoever your carrier is. So I think you're right. I think it's not as special because it's so easily done.
Right. You know, right. It's convenient. It's easy. And I think that we put less weight into it because it's so easy to do.
Okay. So that dovetails into, what people can do first in terms of not letting technology in the way or using technology to benefit your relationship.
Okay. So the first thing I would say about, the technology is really having some clear boundaries. So either, putting down your phone at dinner time or putting down your phone, leaving it in the car. If you can't, you're going on a date, leaving it in the car, turning it, putting it on airplane mode so that you don't get interrupted. That's another little,
I hadn't thought about that.
A little trick you could do if you're going out on a date and you're really trying to pay attention to each other, which I think is important. And I think, we talked about the No Tech 90, which was something that we've implemented over the years. We've been better at times than not, but we talked about 90 minutes a day, putting down all technology and really, doing something together, paying attention to each other.
Yeah. I mean, and that 90 doesn't have to be sitting and looking at each other face to face like we're doing right now, although it's not so bad for me, for you. Not so good.
Yeah, good. I like your
like
goatee.
The goatee.
Yeah, it looks nice.
I'm going to keep it for a little while longer, but
looks nice.
That's so nice of you.
Like, my legs look kind of like that too. I've been shaving. It's winter. Well,
that's at least stop. Let's stop there. Okay. Let's stop there. No, so
you want me to send you a picture?
All right. I'm supposed to be doing a little of the interviewing here, and now you've got me turning red. I think that if you, I'm completely off track.
So you wanted to talk about rules with the No-Tech 90 and how to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry about that. Okay. So it's not
you're
like
thinking about my hairy legs.
Don't send me off again. We're spending our valuable podcast time talking about hairy legs that you don't have, by the way. So no, but what I'm saying to you is that that 90 minutes doesn't have to be us looking at each other and trying to figure things out. For you and me, the 90 minutes is sometimes just us, the two of us sitting on the couch watching a show that we like to watch together, even though that's, quote, technology, the television, yeah, but we're engaged in the same thing.
Right.
You're not off doing something else.
Or dinner, going out to dinner, mm-hmm, or sitting, eating dinner together, or even going to a restaurant and sitting together without the technology, without that pull.
Yeah, I think it's important because, one of the things that bothered me, and you've done a good job, I think, of sort of adjusting to this, is that when we would go out, we'd get in the car and you'd be on the phone. Mm-hmm. You'd be on the phone and it wasn't like you were trying to be disrespectful or ignore me, but you were on the phone, whether it was texting, whether it was, mm-hmm, looking at something, a new coat. You're still trying to find that black coat.
I'm still looking for that black coat,
whatever it might be. And then, and then if we would sit down sometimes, you'd be looking at your phone. Yeah. And I think, and I'm not blaming you.
And how did that make you feel?
Made me feel not good.
Ignored, not important to me.
All of those things. Yeah, I probably could come up with some more, but I didn't write them down. We don't have that much time. So you don't want we're assuming that if you're going on a date and you're spending time together, you don't want your partner to feel that way.
No, you don't want to feel not seen.
So the No-Tech 90, again, I think is a good way, mm-hmm, right? A good tool. And maybe it's a No-Tech. Maybe you don't think you can do it. Start with No-Tech 30.
Yeah, No-Tech 30. 60, I love it.
Whatever it is. And just say, okay, phone, like your parents used to do, no TV, no nothing, whatever it is, we're going to do this. Now, it could be, like I said, it could be a TV show. It could be we're listening to a very good podcast.
Or it could be a game playing.
A game or any number of things. Could be fooling around.
It could be shaving your legs.
Could be
together.
And the way you're talking, it could take 60 minutes to do that. So.
Maybe 30.
30 minutes. Okay. So No-Tech 90. And then just to jump back for a second to something that you said earlier, which I think is important. And that is understanding that it can get in the way.
Yes.
And it's almost like what they say about alcoholics or addicts, right? You have to first know that you are one, mm-hmm, that you have that illness. I'm not sure I'd call this an illness, but you have that issue. Maybe you do call it an illness, an addiction. Maybe it isn't.
Can I just say to you, frankly, I think most of us, me included, are addicted to our phones and technology.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just say that outright. Yeah. I am just as guilty as everybody else. I have, clients that I work with, and most people that I know and that I talk to are in some way addicted, attached, dependent on their phones or tablets or computers.
You can say it if you want to.
I'm an addict for the phone. I am Julie Bullitt. I am addicted to technology.
Yeah.
No, I said it, but I think most people are.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are. I don't think I am to the extent that you are. I don't feel the need to be looking at my phone all the time. I don't look at it. Sometimes I think I do more of it when I'm bored.
Yeah. It's a coping mechanism.
You do more of it. So, okay, let's take a look and see what the latest news is or what's the latest sports.
We're looking for stimulation. There's dopamine that hits our brains when we get a text message or we get an email or we shop there's stuff that happens to your brain and we're looking for some kind of stimulation. Well, that's why people pick up their phone when they're waiting, at an airport or if they're waiting for somebody, right. They're looking for something to excite them.
Well, culturally and societally, we're completely geared that way. I used to read the newspaper, physical, actual paper. My grandkids look at that like it's like the Flintstones, Might as well be reading something somebody carved in stone.
Yeah. We had one here the other day. Yeah, did they ask you what it was?
No, they didn't see it. You made me put it away because it was messy. but and now I read the newspaper on Sundays, but I read it mostly on a tablet.
Yes.
Right? I'm still reading the paper, but it's not the same thing. You want to go shopping. You're not riding to the mall as much as you used to.
Yeah.
Right? But you're shopping online.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you're right. The other thing I think that's important to mention about technology is that it can be misconstrued. A lot of times we talk about the way things come out, like the tone of things. Right. And I think that we often can misconstrue in a, you know, mostly probably in a negative way, like, oh, they said this, are they angry? Right. Or what did they mean by this? Or they didn't answer me right away.
Or somebody put something in all caps and all they accidentally did was hit the caps lock button and you think they're yelling at you.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But I think that there's a higher chance of miscommunication through texting and through emails. And I think that we need to be aware of that and maybe make sure that you keep those kind of communications short and to the point, because I think that they're very easily misconstrued.
And personal things, I still say the same thing, whether we're focusing on couples. And I think that if it's something important that you want to say, unless you absolutely can't say it in person or via phone, your plane's going down, you're getting into a train, whatever the case may be, and you can't take the moment to step away, you got to step away and take the minute and actually have the conversation. And then it doesn't get misconstrued one way or the, you know, for better or for worse.
Right.
You know, if I want to tell you something that's important, I don't want to tell you in an email or a text, generally speaking.
So you're going to call me?
I'm going to call you, or I'm going
to seek me out in person.
I'm going to seek you and your hairy legs out.
Okay.
So there you have it, folks. Keep in mind that it can be a problem. Try to make it less of a problem.
Yeah.
And use our No Tech 90.
No Tech 30, No Tech 60, No Tech 90. Let us know if you do a No Tech zone and how it's working for you. And I'm going to go shave my legs.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see them. All right. So find us, The Bullets, on Facebook, on Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn, TheBullitts. Thank you to our good friend, Julie Shirky from Nashville, for pointing that out to us after the last episode. So you can find us on all of those sites. You can listen to this podcast on all platforms, and you can watch us on video. And you maybe one of these days we'll get to see those hairy legs. She'll put one up on the, screen. So please join us next time on Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
See you soon. Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.